Well, God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, and we're at Becky and Phil's fellowship again tonight. And thank you for having me down again. And we've been having this wonderful fellowship together and encouraging one another, loving one another, and we've just broken bread as well, so we always have our meal down here. So it's a nice whole shebang of being together and encouraging one another, and we're doing what God wants us to do, and that's to fellowship. And the basis for that fellowship is the Word of God, so that we can see what our Father's saying, what He's inspiring right now. So I've been doing, as you know, again, I'll bring it up again, this root of bitterness teaching and our attitude and our heart condition. And a lot of it, when it comes down to the be-all and end-all of it, is that it's really unforgiveness in a lot of the cases of why someone has a root of bitterness. It could be how you've been brought up as a child, if you was abused physically or sexually. It could be how you was treated at a school. It could be based upon rejection, you know, and rejection comes in many forms. Again, we got those teachings on the blog, and I got reminded the other day about the teaching on rejection, that it really helps someone as well, and I know it's helped a lot of people. And it's God that's helping people by us. Like, you know, God does his reconciling by Christ, and God does his reconciling by us. Like, when Christ walked the face of the earth, God was reconciling the world to himself. And Jesus Christ brought deliverance to the people, and he was bold in what he had to declare. And boldness doesn't mean that he was shouting, but he just said the things that needed to be spoken plainly, openly, and directly, that ministered to the hearts and needs of the people. And so my teaching I've called tonight, it might be, this is what I've titled it so far, it could change, but it's forgiven, or forgive as you have been forgiven. And that is a part of our journey. If you are a person that's been offended, you've been hurt, you have this root of bitterness in there, there's things there that you're dealing with that hinders you in your walk. Because we've got to remember that when Jesus Christ came, he came to set the captives free. And the adversary, he wants to put you back in your captivity. And, you know, Jesus Christ said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But we've got to recognize that we have been forgiven. And it wasn't based upon anything that we done. It was based upon what Jesus Christ done and accomplished for us. So we go to Ephesians chapter 2. We just remind ourselves of these wonderful truths. And we go through the epistles, and then we'll look at some of the Old Testament records or gospel records what Jesus Christ said about forgiveness. And so it's a really important thing. And you may think, well, I'm all right now. But if you sit down and think about it, if you are having issues in your life, moving forward, dealing with people, if you struggle in your relationships, if you get offended quickly, it could be because there's still a root of bitterness in there and there's things that haven't been dealt with. And since I've been doing the teaching, I've recognised stuff in my own self, which I've immediately taken to God and gone to his word on. And God is the healer of broken hearts. And we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we also have to remember that, you know, not that we want to give him any glory, but the adversary can work through your old man nature. This is one of the ways that he works. He works through yourself, through your old man nature, through other people. Okay, people usually closest to you, environment, religion. So we got to know how he works. Like it says in that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. In Ephesians 6:10, that we're not ignorant of his methods. How, you know, that word is wiles, methodia, his methods, how he applies himself, how he moves craftily and subtly. And so he can bring these things up if we haven't dealt with them, if we're not walking in light, and, you know, and having our minds set on those things which are above, and we're in relationship with God. So God really wants us to be free in our relationships. And if you think, if you're dealing with different things in your heart and mind, how are you going to hear that voice of God? You know, and but, you know, God can communicate to us wherever we are. And, you know, we could be moving ahead with the things of God, but we might be stuck at a point because there may be something that you need to deal with. Okay, instead of, you know, reaching out to people, you may be, you know, coming away from people. Instead of drawing people near to you, maybe pushing them away from you without you even knowing it. And so these are things that we can be aware. And I think it starts with this forgiveness. When we recognize something in our heart that we're still holding on to, when we think about a situation, If it still hurts, if the scar of what's happened still hurts, then it hasn't been healed. When you can look back on a situation, you may forgive, and the saying is, but you never forget. But the point is, when I thought about that statement, when we would never forget for the things that would happen to us, but it's when we look back on the things that have happened to us, we may still see the scar, but the scar's been healed. It doesn't hurt no more. Whereas when we look back on a situation in our past and it hurts us, it touches us, it sets us in the wrong mind and mood set, you know, and we can feel down and depressed. And then that's when the enemy goes to work on us for our old man nature. Yeah. So, yes, we can forgive and we may never forget, but it all depends when we look back on that situation, does it still hurt us? And I know, but sometimes when I've talked about things that may have happened in a ministry, for example, that I was a part of, I find these emotions coming up in there, and I get, wow, you know, they really didn't help me, you know. And then you find that, you know, that you're putting yourself on guard with what you're hearing, and then you become with a suspicious mind. You're watching everything, you're watching everyone. That is going to stop you in your tracks from really accomplishing and moving in the power of God. And in Ephesians 2:1, so we're going to remind ourselves, that's why, thank God, he's given us his written word, this holy scriptures, that we can look at in the mirror and see ourselves, that we can see what Christ has done for us, what God has done by Jesus Christ. And we want to get our hearts to a place where it's tender, where it's full of love, where it's full of compassion. And if you think, forgiveness goes hand in hand, walks hand in hand with the love of God. And if we're saying we're walking in love, but we're still having or harbouring unforgiveness in our heart, then we're not dealing with the things that we need to deal with. And God wants them dealt. He wants you to be free in your heart and mind and living. And it does take working through. You know, there's a great minister, Joyce Meyer, that gives her a testimony of how she was abused by her father and how it affected her life and how God worked with her to the point that she was forgiven towards her dad. And, you know, and I know people that have been in those situations as well. So we've all been there in one way, shape or another, maybe not to an extreme degree like other people, but we've all been affected. We've all been rejected. We've all been hurt by people that we love. And that's the deepest betrayal, is when you're hurt by the people you love. And it's hard to deal with, even as believers, unless we really, you know, go to the word and keep that first in our minds. So in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." So that's the one thing that we can remember. At one time, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Where in times past, before we become born again, you walked according to the courses of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. This is how the adversary puts the hurt on people. Hurting people hurt people. And if we're hurt in an area of our life, then we know we are, or we start to recognize we are, even if it's through this teaching, you recognize there's things there, then you just take it before the Father. You go to the Word and you let the Word and that prayer with God and that go into his Word, and you work through it. You can get counseling and encouragement for other people, and you can be completely healed. And I'm not saying it's an overnight job. Right, it's going to take time. Like, you know, building walls takes time, and we're building the walls of our mind with the truth of the Word of God. Verse 3 says, "Among whom also we all had our conversation or behavior in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." See, we were by nature, because of the fall of Adam and Eve, sin entered into the world, and every person that was born from that point was born into sin. That is why we needed a saviour from that sin. Okay, but once we get born again, there's still old baggage there. We become new in Christ. We got that new creation in us, but now we need to grow up into Christ. Now we need to walk in that renewed mind and allow God to deal with the things in our heart. It's not that we have to focus on those hurts and dirts, but we focus on God. And as we begin to move, we're being renewed. We're going from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from strength to strength in the power of God. And it's just really great. So anyway, verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy." See, God is rich in mercy. He's got plenty of it. for his great love wherewith he loved us. See, even in our fallen condition, God loved us when we were fallen, right? And so a lot of people, and even me at times in the past, you know, I would base my relationship really on how I felt. I thought God's view of me has changed. But the truth is, God's view of you has never ever changed. But our view on God changes when we haven't dealt with stuff, see? So if we're hurt, then we're thinking, well, why is God allowing this? And why is God doing this? And he doesn't love me. He loves you, even when you was in your fallen state. How much more is he for you that you're born again? He's for the world, the fallen world. He's for the people in that world, right? And we've accepted his great grace and his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. How much is he for you? See, so it's never that God's ever changed his thoughts or his mind about you. He's our heavenly Father. He loves us. And it's our view changes towards God when things go on, and that we have to do something about it to change. That we go to work in our flesh to try and mend the things that are spiritual, which have affected our hearts. And only God is the one that can do that. So we just need to go to God. So even when, verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. It's God's unmerited divine favour. In other words, it's his favour, it's not by us, what I chose. He chose us. And then he's made it available for us to receive his great gift. And when we set that, when we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and believe God raised him from the dead, we receive that grace. We receive Holy Spirit, eternal life. That power to change is dunamis. And that's the power to change. We can't renew our minds to walk in the power of God in our own effort. It's with God. God does that work, and as he shows and lights the things up in our life, whether it's through a teaching, through someone's words, through your reading, through revelation, when we follow that voice of what he's shown us to do, then we start to walk in that power, because it's not from our efforts, it's from his. Verse 6, and have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Have we done anything there to put ourselves at the right hand side of God apart from making Jesus Christ our Lord, right? So he's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So when we pray, we're not praying up, we're praying down. We're seated at the right hand side of God in Christ Jesus. That is our position. That in the ages to come, he might show his exceeding richness of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, believing, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. There's nothing that we've done in there apart from believe and confess. Not of works, lest any man should boast. No one is better than anyone else. It's God's grace to mankind. For we are his workmanship, a masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. See, we were without God in this world, but because of his great love and his kindness and his forgiveness, we now have this wonderful life that's available for us to live in and walk in. But now, verse 13, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes or once were afar off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. See, Jesus is our peace, who have made both one and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, Jews and Gentiles. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace unto you who were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him, Jesus Christ, we have both access by one Spirit unto the Father. So we can see the great love of the Father, which was shown through the life and the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this has been made available to us. So when we recognize what God has done for us and what we've been forgiven for, what we've been redeemed for, what we are heading for, then we should really have a heart of compassion and forgiveness towards others. No matter how much you've been hurt, no one can hurt God like maybe the world has, you know, through the way that it's lived, through the sin that's in the world, through the adversary, through his stealing, killing, destroying, through poisoning the minds of people, through his systems. You know, we can forgive. You know, we can do all things through Christ which strengthen us. So we do it in that strength, not in our own strength. If you're trying to forgive and forget something, in your strength is still going to be there. And that's why it says in Hebrews that this, you know, least any root of bitterness springing up thereby many be defiled. It says in that it's with the grace of God. We cut it out with the grace of God, that favour. So in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 it says, in whom? In Christ we have redemption through his, Christ's blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We have forgiveness of sins. Who are we to hold a grudge against any? We have no rights in doing that as sons and daughters of God. And God understands where our hearts is if we do have those things. But he's saying, now you're my kids. You have a different setup. You have a different mindset. You have the truth of my word. You have the light of my word. And in fact, if you don't forgive, you're held in captivity by the adversary. Basically, you know, and we've been set free. So it's like denying what God's done for us in a sense. If we go, so how do we start? So let's go to 1 Peter in chapter 2. Which is another wonderful record here. 1 Peter chapter 2. And it says in verse 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. See, we're to follow the steps of our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. He left the example, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Guile, bitterness. There was no bitterness, anything in his mouth, right? Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And we can do that, guys. We can commit the things to God that we cannot deal with, maybe. That we don't have to give a reaction, but we act by going to the Father. We act knowing who we are in Christ, knowing what's been accomplished for us in Christ, knowing these records that I've just read in Ephesians and in Colossians. Because I didn't read Colossians, did I?
No.
Not yet.
Okay, I'm going to go back up to that in a minute. I missed it out, but it's still fitting perfectly. 1 Peter 2:22, who did no? Yeah, I've read that. Yeah, I've read that section. Let's go back up to Colossians 1, chapter 1. So I want to put that in there because it's very powerful. So, you know, we're to be followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're to follow his example, his heart. And we have the mind of Christ. We're to put on the mind of Christ. So we can either deny these things in ourselves, or we can allow God to go to work by putting that mind. It's by our decision. God doesn't violate free will choice, see? So it's all down to us. And then God goes to work. We decide, yeah, I'm going to do this because God has really forgiven me and I've done some stuff in my life. And so, Father, I thank you that you've afforded me to be in this position to forgive. And so it's all about perspective as well. And that's where your attitude comes in. But we've got to know what the word says so that we know how to respond in situations. So in Colossians 1:13 it says, who have delivered us from the powers of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We have been delivered from the powers of darkness, and all we do when we hold on forgiveness is put ourselves back in there when we've been delivered from there, and then we don't walk in the fullness of who we are in Christ. Can you see? And we can't shine as those lights that we really can shine as. So these records are really good. And let's have a look at what Jesus Christ actually done. So we just go to that record in Isaiah chapter 53. and in verse 5 is a wonderful record. He says, but he, Jesus, this referring, prophesying of what Christ was going to go through, right? But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So this is prophesying, right? And this is the prophecy of what was going to happen to the Messiah. But we'll go through this. We're going to look at a couple of words. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. This word transgressions is our external sins, the things we do outside of, you know, from outside of ourselves. Yeah, he was bruised for our iniquities. That's talking about the internal sins, the things of our heart, the sins of that we do in our heart, right? The chastisement of our peace, our mind, was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed, which refers to the body. So externally, internally, our minds, our bodies, he's paid the price for. That's why we have this wholeness in Christ. That's why we can receive the deliverance if something comes on us. You know, he has paid the price. And when he says we are healed, that was talking about then, right now. But it became past tense in 1 Peter, didn't it? When it says, by stripes you were healed. It's a done deal. So when someone needs that healing, then we can minister with the power of God in those situations, whether it's body, mind, soul, spirit, whatever we can get. Not spirit, because the spirit's perfect. Or if it's a devil spirit, we can cast out. So we've been provided for in every way. So we can keep, if we keep our hearts clean and free from these things by getting our head filled with the understanding of the scriptures, of what God is saying about our redemption, what he's forgiven us for, then we can truly, you know, if we set our hearts and thoughts on things above, then we can truly be people that forgive other people. And sometimes it does take time. I'm not saying that it all happens in one moment, but what I'm saying is we should recognize, what does God think about us holding grudges or not forgiving other people? What does he say about it? And, you know, you don't hear many teachings on this. There are teachings, but there's not many of them. And I believe, since going through this, is not regularly taught, because people deal with these things daily, right? These things happen daily. Offences occur daily. And it all starts with offence, being offended, right? It all starts with that. And then the love of many grows cold. It doesn't grow. Like, if I don't water my plants, my tomato plants that are growing in my summer house, they're going to die, and I need to go and water them tomorrow just for reminding myself. Okay, so let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. It says, this is what Jesus Christ said, right? This is the example we're to follow. Peter exhorted us to follow that example, right? In 1 Peter 2, chapter 21, 22, and 23. In Matthew 5, 44, it says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Oh, come on, Lord, you're just asking something just too big there. But he's not saying doing it in your power. Just do it with him. And in remembrance of what's been done for you. That's how we can tackle and face these things. Not in our own power, not in our own five-sense ability, but knowing what has been done for us, knowing that we can do all things, that God is energizing and working with us as we make step towards these things, then we can do it. We can do it. And God works in us to do these things. He's blessed when we respond with his heart, because this is the heart of the Father, right? That's why he sent his son, to express his heart to the world, right? And he certainly did that. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Now, that's a hard one as well, in the senses. But if we are walking with God, if we are filled with that truth of the word in our minds and hearts, we can do this. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, it looks like a tall order, but in our senses, it's a tall order. But when we're walking with God, when we're putting that word on in our heart, when we're learning to walk with him, we can do these things. But I say unto you, love your enemies. There's many people that I don't really want to love, but I know that I need to, and I know that I can do. It's up to me, it's my decision. And I tell you what, when you make that decision, you get blessed. You get so free within yourself. Bless them that curse you. You know, it's like a husband and wife team. As soon as the husband curses the wife, what's the wife doing? Well, you can go and do one too. And the husband, no, you go. And then it goes into a full-scale argument. That's why we do it, so we cut it dead in its track. We don't let the disease of unforgiveness, of wrongdoing spread any further than... We don't let the adversary's famine through these things spread. Okay? And like I said, it takes time for these things to practice. We practice a walk, we're practicing it. Okay, we're reminding ourselves of these things. It says the chastisement of it's the wrong verse. And do good unto them, he said, bless them that curse you, do good unto them that hate you. Now, I tell you what, have you ever done that? Has anyone ever done that? Here or online?
No. Yeah.
See, and how good have you felt when you've done that? Amazing, because you know it puts you in a different position. It gives you a different mind frame.
Opens doors.
And God blesses you as soon as you do that. And pray for them which despitefully use you. Pray for them. You know, you see someone that they got the wrong heart. Just pray for them. Father, give them a change of heart. Because, you know, they're walking with the world. They're not seeing, especially if it's a believer, they're not seeing their true value. Open up his heart. And persecute you. Now, that's a tough one too. Because, you know, as soon as someone's persecuting, what do you want to do? You want to retaliate. Did Christ retaliate? No. Whose example are we following? His.
Christ.
Right, Luke 23 is another wonderful record we can read. In fact, I would say this is the ultimate record about forgiveness. For me, anyway, when I read the scriptures on this. So Luke 23, verse 32, we start, and it says, and there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. So this was when Christ was going to be crucified. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactor, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do, and they parted his raiments and cast lots. And we got to remember, if anyone had a right to be offended, if anyone had a right that could take a reaction back to them, it was the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was the only one that ever walked the face of the earth without sin. He never sinned, right? He come here to save them, right? Them as well, okay? And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know what we do. And don't forget, he's just been through hours and hours of being tortured, mocked, shamed, embarrassed, spat on his face. He's had big, nails on his back. And then like big metal balls with like little prongs on them. And then they would whip their back and then they would drag it across his back. His back was being ploughed. There was no formal comeliness. He couldn't be recognized as the person that he was, because he was so badly beaten. And if anyone's seen the Passion of Christ, that I don't even think that it represents it in a good way, but not the full extent. He must have been worse than that. And he suffered. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. You know, put yourself in the other shoes. You see, and it's just that... this is the ultimate forgiveness I see, like, you know, from another human, a person, and we can do that. He was tempted in all things like as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted. He might have been tempted to, that's it, you know, I'm going to call these legions of angels down. And when, verse 33, and when they are, oh sorry, I read that, verse 20, 34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his garments and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. Now, he knew he was the Christ. He could have been tempted to like, no, I'm going to prove it now. I'm going to get these angels down and kick their ass, right? Verse 36, and the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. and a superscription also written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself." But the other also rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He could have turned around and said, "No way! You see what you just put me through? I'm in pain, you ask me that? It's a bit selfish, isn't it?" What does he say? Verse 43, "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." So there we see the ultimate of forgiveness by another person. Colossians 3:13 says, this is what we're to do. This is the exhortation for us to do. "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. And above all these things, put on the love of God," charity, "the love of God, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart." Right, heart is where that bitterness could be, that envy. And if you're not doing these things, how can you let that peace of God rule in your heart, which is the innermost part of your mind, where faith comes from, where the love comes from, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. So this is guideline for us. This shows us the heart that we should have and the reasons why we should have it. Can you see? It's really fantastic. And let's go and have a look at another example in Matthew chapter 18. There's only a few more records that we're going to look at, because I'm not going to go extensively into this tonight. Matthew 18, verses 21 to 22, we start off and it says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but unto 70 times seven." Well, if you times that, that's 490, right? So that means when we get to 491, we don't have to forgive. No, because the emphasis is as many times as you need to forgive, you forgive. This is what God's heart is, that we keep forgiving. And the reason's why, because we stop the devil from hurting us and from hurting that person, and we stop his famine from burning the body of Christ with these things. And then we can be examples to others, showing that love, that tenderness, that pureness, that compassion. Okay? And as we do these things, those things in our hearts will go. The grace of God will start, healing it. We may remember things that have happened to us. Okay, but when we look back on it, we're like, oh, that doesn't hurt. It's gone. And if the devil reminds you of your past, you can also remind him of his future. And we have to remember that too. Okay, but sometimes it's unavoidable to think of the things that have happened to us, especially when we see it or heard of it happening to someone else, and it brings back those memories. But then we can quickly kick in there and say, look, I understand. I can identify with you in your situation. This also happened to me, and this is how God helped me through this. And we can genuinely minister to someone, see? And then we can show them the word also. So that's how many times, right? We just keep forgiving. Verse 23 says, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus Christ then gives an example, okay, of this forgiveness and what it can do for good and what it can do for bad if we don't. Right, so it says in verse 23, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants." Verse 24, "And when he had began to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt." and we should have compassion. And if anyone owes you and they can't pay you, we could take an example from it and have compassion. We need to have compassion for one another. Why is that person acting that way? Why is that person treating me bad? Why did that person do this to me? What was going on in their life at that time that they done these atrocities or whatever it was that offended you, hurt you, scarred you? Mm-hmm. And then when we look at it from that point of view, we know that God, when we release them by the forgiveness in our heart, God can go to work in their lives. Okay, and sometimes we may never meet the person that again that has hurt us, but we can still let it go and we can still put forgiveness there. And you're released. There's nothing that the enemy can then bring back up on you to hurt you through your emotions, through your mind, and through your own relationship with other people. You won't have to be defending yourself and guarding your heart to a ridiculous degree, and you won't have to be suspicious of other people and their motives. Can you see? It's really fantastic insight. Verse 27, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him his debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant done the exact same thing as he did, fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not. See, he forgot. He didn't recognize what was done for him. And when we reckon, it's the same thing with us, recognizing what was done for us. Based upon what God has done for us in Christ, we should forgive. We should forgive. Right? See, and this is the example to that. And he would not, but went and cast him into the prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Verse 32, then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant. See? So when you contrast it, then you got to see where the heart is, right? And was it in one of the teachings, in the Root of Bitterness teachings, the heart is wicked. Who can know it? The heart above all things is wicked. Who can know it? In Jeremiah, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? You know, is the Lord Jesus Christ going to say that to us? This is just a story here, you know, an example for us. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heaven, now he's addressing the disciples here, right? So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart, that's where the bitterness could be, unforgiveness be, or the faith and the love can be, from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. It's very clear that forgiveness is the priority, right? Matthew chapter 6 verse 14 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And then if you think about 1 John 1:9, where it says about broken, if any man have, if you confess your broken fellowship, he is faithful and just to forgive you your broken fellowship. So if we go to God for forgiveness, but we're harbouring unforgiveness towards someone else, then don't wonder why things don't move for you. Don't wonder why the things are not bubbling for you. Yes, God's mercy and grace is still there in your life, but you just don't seem to be moving like other people that may be moving hot, maybe looking to God, maybe seeing great things happen, great healing and deliverance with people. Our job is to reconcile people back to God. And if we're going to do that effectively, we can't be having these things in our heart. And if they're there now, then God says, look, I can take care of that. You need to see what I've done for you. You need to see that I can heal your heart. It's my grace that takes these things away from you. And like I said, this root of bitterness usually comes through offense And when the offence takes place in the heart and takes a root, then an unforgiveness happens, then these things start to grow in our hearts. So we've got to keep ourselves clean, keep our mind clean, keep ourselves fresh with what God says about these things, not forget these things. That's why it's recorded, so we don't forget. And you know, and at times there might be situations that we do forget that come up in the future, but because that word's in your heart, God can work that, and He can remind you and show you. And you know, He's amazing how God works with all of us. But yeah, that is just another part. I believe that's the beginning process to being healed from any root of bitterness in there. And like I said, I'm not saying you're going to be totally delivered. You might be delivered by hearing this message, because it's highlighted and lit up the dark areas of your life in those areas that need to be dealt with. But then there's some work involved with God, going to Him, asking Him to help you, showing you what to do. And as you do that, as you get strong in His word and build your heart with the truth and put on the mind of Christ, then you can be completely, totally delivered with these things. So God bless you. See you there.